and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking moments after the ceasefire in Gaza took effect. This phase of the deal, brokered by President Trump, calls on Hamas to release all hostages within 24 hours. The president suggested his work should make him the Nobel Peace Prize recipient, but that decision was made earlier in the week. And today, the Norwegian Nobel Committee announced this year's winner, Venezuelan opposition politician Maria Corina Machado.
Despite serious threats against her life, she has remained in the country, a choice that has inspired millions.
That's committee chair Jürgen Vatna Freidnes. New York's attorney general Letitia James called criminal charges against her baseless. Bank fraud and false statement charges filed by President Trump's hand-picked U.S. attorney in Virginia's Eastern District. No end in sight to the government shutdown as the Senate leaves. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on Saturday and Sunday, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has announced new funding to continue offering services through the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project. DPI officials say funding for the program typically comes from federal grants, but in September, the Department of Education announced it would terminate that funding because it reflected the prior administration's priorities and policies. The DPI appealed that decision, but their appeal was denied in late September. The new grant funding comes from the National Center on Deaf Blindness. The Barron County Sheriff's Department requested two significant expenses from the County Executive Committee at their meeting this month. Sheriff's office officials are asking for a radio upgrade estimated to cost around $1.5 million and a new patrol boat for around $80,000. They also say selling off some of their current equipment that needs replacement could help offset a portion of that cost. The full Barron County Board would need to approve the proposal with a 3/4 majority to authorize the purchases. Barron County residents are being invited to a new event aimed at raising awareness about type 1 diabetes this weekend. The inaugural Rice Lake Walk for Breakthrough T1D event will be held at 9 a.m. on Saturday at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Barron County campus. The event will feature things like face painting for kids and yard games before the 2-mile walk kicks off at around 10:30 a.m. There's no fee to participate, but residents interested in attending are encouraged to register before the event on the Breakthrough T1D Walk website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Cubs and the crew at 2-2. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it happened again. First inning, the Brewers' Freddy Peralta on the mound. Bottom of the first, two men on. The Cubs, Ian Happ at the plate on TBS.
Happ with a drive, right field, way back there, gone! Ian Happ takes Freddy Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
The Cubs went on to win last night 6-0 to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
Going into a winner-take-all Game 5, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can't force. Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. Hopefully, the tables would turn when we get into Game 5 at our place.
NBA, the Bucks with another preseason win, 117-111 over the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. A pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Nice to hear your voice again, because it's now accurate. We're back here on the shores of Lake Wissota in beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, on a Friday morning, October 10th, 2025. It's nice to have you along from wherever you're listening, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us on YouTube or Facebook, either the Civic Media sites or the Up North News sites. We appreciate you wrapping up the week right here. Alicia right away on YouTube saying welcome home. Thank you, Alicia, very much. Certainly appreciate that. I got a question for you, and it's a slam dunk. Is there anything like sleeping in your own bed? It's nice to travel. Don't get me wrong, especially when you're seeing family. But after several nights away, boy, did I sleep like a baby last night. Part of the reason being, I just did not have confidence that the Brewers were going to pull it off, and they most certainly did not pull it off last night. So we go to an elimination game. One game, winner take all, Brewers-Cubs coming up Saturday night at American Family Field. Let's check in with producer Parker Olson and see if, once again, he stayed up way too late for the disappointment of a Brewers loss in Chicago. Nope, he looks a little bit more awake, just entirely disillusioned. Mr. Olson, good morning.
Is it a good morning, Pat? I don't think it's a good morning, Pat.
It is for me. I slept in my... When I went to bed, and whatever, I don't forget what the score was, 4-1 or whatever at that point, and I had...
We didn't score, Pat.
Or 4-0, yeah, whatever it was. You're right, because I went to bed thinking, you know, my guess was that I was going to wake up and find out that the final score was 11-0, and it wasn't. Yeah. It was 6-0, right? And that was enough. So yeah. It just, I mean, when you see Freddie Peralta, you know, again, much like you know, Quinn Priester, just not able to hit their points, yeah. And it's not like they haven't played at Wrigley Field before. So why are you letting the Cubs crowd get to you? But they did, and you know, the Brewers bats didn't have any answer. And so those two games at Wrigley are as forgettable as they come, unless the Brewers lose tomorrow, and then they won't be forgettable. We will always be talking about messing up those two games at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, there were a couple of times last night where the Brewers had a couple of like decently hard hit balls, but they were straight at somebody. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of just like the signal that it's not going to be your day, because that tends to be how the Brewers work. They put the ball in play, something happens, they get on base, they manufacture runs. But that was absolutely not working yesterday. And to your point, too, yeah, the pitching, for whatever reason, that first inning is such a bugaboo. And Freddie Peralta, he's not, I've said this before, he may be a little bit of a Cy Young candidate, but he's not exactly a pleasant watch.
No
matter how good he's doing,
they call him Fastball Freddy for a reason, but it's just not it's not consistent enough that he might get some votes for the Cy Young award, but he's not going to win it.
And it's, I don't think it's so much the inconsistency. I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do.
He said that last night. Yeah, he said he felt consistent.
He's entirely uncompetitive when he's ahead in a count, and it's frustrating as all get out.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's the short version of what happened, and Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk about that, to talk about, you know, the deciding game five tomorrow at American Family Field. And I can tell you right now that because it's the last game of all the league series, there's an American League elimination game tonight, so that's at 7 o'clock, and then the National League elimination game will be tomorrow night, so that one is now at 7 o'clock. And so coverage will begin Saturday at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations across the network. As for the other series, we'll just cover those real briefly here. It was a case of finding out that, you know, either the Cubs or the Brewers are going to play the Dodgers. The Dodgers move on one of the craziest, most frustrating, dumbest plays will haunt Philadelphia Phillies fans for the foreseeable future, where the Dodgers have a runner on third, the Dodger hitter, it's a comebacker to the pitcher, but he bobbles it. He could have either thrown to first and got the third out or threw it home. He chose to throw it home after bobbling it. And I mean, he threw it just a bit outside and that was it. Dodgers score on a weird muffed throw. It had to go, what, 20 feet from the pitcher to the catcher?
He
missed the catcher wildly, and the Dodgers advance. So
that was so hard to watch. I felt so bad for that guy.
Oh, for him and for all the fans. So the Dodgers move on and wait to see if they play the Brewers or the Cubs, because it also determines home field advantage. If the Brewers win, then the National League Championship Series will start in Milwaukee on Monday night, and the Brewers will have the home field advantage. If the Brewers lose to the Cubs, then they'll take on the Dodgers, but the Dodgers will have the home field advantage starting on Monday. Meanwhile, in the American League, like I said, there's a clinching game tonight. That will be Detroit at Seattle, Tigers versus Mariners, 7 o'clock tonight. The winner will travel to Toronto for the American League Championship Series Game 1, which will be Sunday night. So, any chance we can get Brandon Woodruff back by tomorrow? I'm just thinking about our pitchers.
That's the other stupid thing about it, is it seems like once Woodruff went down, everything went out the window. Nothing is going well.
The air just went out of the balloon. It felt like, not entirely, because obviously we still have had some big innings.
Yeah.
But pitching wise, it just hasn't been everything that we would want it to be. While we're on the subject of sports here, of course, we've got high school football tonight on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then, of course, we've got Badger football tomorrow. The Badgers taking on Iowa. And again, let me clarify, because I said it wrong multiple times this week. The Badgers are home against Iowa. It's a homecoming in Madison. Coverage begins tomorrow at 4 on several Civic Media stations. And then on Sunday, the Packers are back in action, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock for a 3:25 kickoff on several Civic Media stations. Again, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. It's going to be a little weird for the Packers to face Joe Flacco again, since they faced him as the Cleveland Browns quarterback a couple of weeks back, and now they're facing him as the newly acquired Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
I wonder how many times this has happened, that a team has played against the same quarterback twice in a season, but not on the same team.
Not much.
It can't be, right?
I mean, no, midseason trades of a quarterback don't happen much. And within the division.
And to be a starter.
AFC, and to be a starter. Yeah, just that is that caught everybody's attention. And certainly, does that help the Packers because they've played him already? You know, who's to say? Because he's only one of 11 people there behind the ball. So Badger women's volleyball, they are 7th ranked in the country. They will travel to Penn State tonight to take on the Nittany Lions there. And so we'll follow all of that and have some results Monday morning for you along the way. We mentioned that Mike Clemens is coming up. Also ahead, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And again, forgive the strong language here, but we're going to talk about another stupid thing said by Robert Kennedy Jr., somehow connecting autism to circumcision via Tylenol in baby boys. And there is a meme in like the movie Airplane where first one person puts their face on their head, and then other people do, and then like the entire theater audience puts their hand on their head.
Audible facepalm.
I felt like that was the entire medical community yesterday, and that was just one of several things. I mean, let's just say Dr. Lyerly is what's the phrase, loaded for bear. She is ready to talk about this. So
I have yet to see this clip, and I am a little worried.
You should be. We'll also have, of course, our regular Week in Review panel with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And, of course, one of the big topics this week deals with President Trump being able to send the military into cities just willy-nilly. And let me put it to you this way. How do you think people in Oklahoma, let's say Tulsa, how do you think people in Tulsa would feel if a Democratic president sent the Illinois National Guard into their city? So troops from Chicago basically invading Tulsa, because that's essentially what's happening in reverse with people in Chicago, as red states are complying with President Trump's desire to play soldier, to play general. Well, we can say that out loud, but you know who else said it out loud? A top Republican official in the state of Oklahoma, one of the few Republicans speaking up, going, that's not how this country is supposed to work. That's not how our system of federalism is supposed to work, where the president can send troops from one state into another state without that governor's permission. This isn't a case of, oh, there's some kind of insurrection, there's some kind of national emergency. Trump says there is, except for this one problem. There's not. He's sending people into Chicago that just had a summer with the least amount of murders since 1965. Okay. These are made up things that distract from the shutdown where they're trying to inflict maximum pain, distract from the ongoing cover up of the Epstein files, and distract from the fact that inflation is still very persistent for the American consumer. It's a distraction from Americans who are just now starting to realize how much more expensive their health insurance premiums are going to shoot up because Republicans in Congress voted for that big bloated boondoggle, which removed the affordable from the Affordable Care Act. But the president has figured out a way to make this all about, you know, make that all that go away. And let's talk about whether troops should be in Chicago and in Portland and in Memphis and in Washington, D.C. and every place else. So we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about that, along with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. You go over that and some of the other stories of the week. Now, of course, we've got stories that we're following here at Up North News. I'm putting together our weekend newsletter, and that will include our question of the week, which this past week was all about, you know, who would be your first choice in the Democratic primary for governor? Well, needless to say, this Sunday's edition is going to be kind of a reset on the race because Josh Call decided not to run for governor. Missy Hughes jumped into the race for governor. And there are still other rumblings out there, names like Mandela Barnes, names like Ron Kind that are being bounced around. So to what degree is the field set yet? We'll kind of give you a reset in this weekend's newsletter, and we'll come up with a new question of the week. And if you want to be among the first to see it and respond to it, then head over to upnorthnewswi.com. That's our homepage there. And click on subscribe in the top banner. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. But gosh golly, do we love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9 across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. So a lot to cover here, including in just a bit, we're going to talk about again, the hypocrisy of saying support our troops and thank you for your service when that's not really what's happening. That's coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. It is 6:20, just about 6:23 now on this Friday morning. Sorry, I was just sipping some coffee. It's so good, not just to sleep in your own bed, but to have your own coffee again. Just all the comforts here. My chair feels better. The lighting feels better. My face now has a color that appears in nature once again.
You do look better.
Thank you. I feel better compared to the weird lighting in hotel rooms and guest bedrooms and things like that. Still got to work on yours over there, man. I mean, you are, as I discovered being there a week before last, you are a handsome young man.
Shucks.
You'd never know watching this show. It's and it's not your fault at all.
No.
So we'll worry about that later, but it's nice to have things. Everything is back where it needs to be. My Roy Kent coffee mug for Fridays is here. The coffee tastes better. Yeah. You know what else is better is being back into the regular routine of checking things on my own computer, which includes Civic Media's new daily newsletter. It's filled with lots of links to show highlights and more. Head over to Substack. Specifically, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com, and be a part of it all. Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point brings up the news that is rather sad, especially for college basketball fans. Sister Jean Schmidt, the Loyola basketball superfan and team chaplain, died at age 106. She became a sports world celebrity at the age of 98 as the number one fan for Loyola University during their Cinderella run in the NCAA Final Fours, but has passed away now at the age of 106. Roger, thank you for letting us know about that. Let's see. We also had Tony commenting on YouTube about potential gubernatorial candidates. First, he goes, Tom Nelson, with a big explanation point. And then Luke Mathers with a big exclamation point. He also says that he appreciates the new lighting. Thank you. Because he says Parker is ghost white in person too, right? No, he's not. He's nobody looks normal in that room.
It's close.
But we're gonna work on it. He also says, are we going to talk about Emily Cephos running again for assembly? Yes, at some point we are. Emily Cephos, a friend of the show here, is running again in Assembly District 56. That's important because currently Assembly District 56 has a representative who does not live in the district, has been playing fast and loose with his residential address. And Emily thought that it might be time once again for residents in that Fox Valley area district to have a representative who would represent them by living in the place that they're supposed to represent. So yes, we will most definitely be talking to Emily all about that in the coming days as well. But for the moment, I just want to talk about a real pet peeve of mine and my ongoing mission to help more people understand that the politicians who are loudest about back the blue and support the troops and thank you for your service are sometimes the most hypocritical when it comes to actual backing and support and gratitude. The most recent example could be seen late yesterday in the nation's capital as the Senate passed a new defense policy bill, a $925 million bill that's going to talk all about some of the broad policy of the military and the outlines of the Pentagon budget whenever the government does open again. But they did not include a provision in there that would have kept paying the troops during a government shutdown. Because most federal employees will not get paid next week. And the same goes for soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and all who support them. They could have changed that. The bills are going to keep coming, but the paychecks will not. Of course, this all happened at the same U.S. Capitol where insurrectionists beat and maimed scores of law enforcement officers. And yet, has there been anything other than indifference as their party leaders pardoned those domestic terrorists? While we're on the subject, these are the same people who in D.C. and in Madison and elsewhere pass budgets that squeeze local coffers already hard-pressed to pay for police and other law enforcement. Talk is cheap when it comes to backing the blue if you don't really fund who it is that you claim to support. And of course, we've covered active duty troops and law enforcement. Let's not forget veterans who face higher probabilities of homelessness and suicide and drug addiction and other things. The people who beat the drum hardest for war and for supporting our troops sure have a funny way of showing it lately. At the federal level, of course, we can talk all about the cuts to the VA healthcare system. We have talked about them. There will be more to come. And then closer to home, two shelters to help homeless veterans had to shut down in the state because Republicans zeroed out the budget for them, even as it turns out, when there might be free resources being offered. According to a report from WQOW-TV in Eau Claire, a contractor has been willing to work with the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs to replace the aging Klein Hall facility in Chippewa Falls at no cost for the construction, only the cost to lease it once it's built. A Department of Veterans Affairs spokesperson, or an official rather, confirmed that they were working with the company on the offer, but the funding needed to enter the contract didn't go through because Republican leadership isn't exactly rushing to embrace what now turns out to be free help for veterans. Again, we've talked several times about this being the legislature's fall session, but it has been plodding along, even as these facilities for homeless veterans had to stop operations and shut down. But again, we're seeing where their real priorities are when it comes to our veterans, to our military, and to law enforcement. And I just want people to keep that in mind whenever you hear the pithy sayings like, back the blue and support our troops. Talk is cheap. Coming up next, today's history lesson. How about this for a rundown? David Lee Roth, Neil Diamond, Greg Bach, and former Vice President Spiro Agnew. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show. The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allbald Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
An information vacuum may be one of the biggest challenges that Wisconsin farmers face with the government shutdown. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Jenny Wackershauser, who is a dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, says without the necessary data from USDA, markets are left wondering what's going on, what's being sold, what volumes are we producing. And she said dairy producers need that data for some of the insurance products that they're going to be leaning on.
We start to get a lack of information that includes our monthly milk production report, which will be here in about a week here for dairy producers. So not only does that give us a look at what did September do as far as milk production, number of cows in the herd, it also is a trigger for producers who utilize the Dairy Revenue Protection Program through the crop insurance. Part of that program is we need to have that milk production data to do the final report.
Jenny Wackershauser, she's a dairy analyst with the EverAg crew out of Platteville. She said the last time this happened was 2018, and she said at that time when the markets didn't have USDA data, they traded sideways for the duration.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We're off to a lower start on a Friday morning in overnight trade. December corn's down a half at 417. November soybeans are down a nickel, 1016. July wheat, that's down a half, 547. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday at 174. 40-pound block cheese did gain 2 1/4 at 176, but AA butter was down 4 3/4 cents to 160 1/4 per pound. November, class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 4 right now at 1660 a hundredweight, with the December contract down 9 at 1665. Just a quick market snapshot for you on a Friday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. Pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight clear, we'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stand-up comedian Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Starting today's history lesson with little David Lee Roth for his 71st birthday, born this day in 1954 in Bloomington, Indiana, Just a Gigolo, which it was decades later that I learned that that was actually not some kind of an original song. I thought it was just some funny thing he put together. It's like an old-timey song. It goes like way, way back. Very few people know that, but Greg Bach did. And Greg Bach joins us, as always, on Fridays for our history lesson. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning to you, Pat. Good morning to Parker. Good every day. I'm sorry. I'm very tired. Very tired.
You know what you need? You need more pumpkin spice.
I need more pumpkin spice.
Okay. Just get it flowing.
I'm just a Gregolo everywhere I go.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. That song's from like 1930 or something. Like it's from the late 20s or early 30s.
I know that a year or two back we... it was Louis Prima. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
1929.
Yeah.
Is when it first came out. And, you know, again, it was much more not romantic, but almost serious. And David Lee Roth, of course, turned it into something fun and goofy.
I'm just a gigolo, man. Yep. Everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I wrote this, guys, I really wrote this really deep. Deep within self-reflective tune, man. Music is weird. Okay, hi, good morning.
Hey, no, nice to have you here. And David Lee Roth, of course, who, you know, when he left Van Halen, managed to have, I shouldn't say managed to have, but did have a good solo career. And Van Halen went on just fine with Sammy Hagar after that. So,
two things about that. First of all, I did not know until this moment that he was from Bloomington, Indiana. He had to be the most annoying kid in Bloomington, Indiana.
I don't know. What town did David Letterman grow up in? I mean,
that makes sense, though, in Indiana. Like, he's got more of an Indiana Midwest vibe of, like, the dry, sarcastic wit, whereas you just see a little David Lee Roth doing cartwheels down the main street. Like, he's got to get out of here. He's got to leave. He's never going to farm. He's weird. And also... I just also like the idea, like, hey, I'm in the biggest rock band in the world. You know what I should do? Go out on my own, because that will go real well.
Yeah. It gets you a hit or two, but that's truly about it. So.
Yeah.
Name ID. Well, anyway. Come on.
Yep, exactly. A couple of other birthdays, both of them involving presidential aspirations. There's Bradley Whitford from the West Wing and Wisconsin's own, who is 66 years old today. And then California Governor Gavin Newsom is 58 years old today. So could you see a day, maybe, you know, the next presidential campaign, it's the Gavin Newsom Bradley Whitford ticket? That would get some votes.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Wow.
No.
That was unexpected. All right. Well, let's instead get back to the music, because on this day in 1970, the number one song was by Neil Diamond. What's your Neil Diamond impression these days?
Not existent.
Not as good as Neil Diamond. Yeah. That was the number one song this day in 1970. Hey, I got a couple of more birthdays of people who might have presidential aspirations. Happy birthday, Brett Favre. He is 56 years old today.
Like, you're a mean man, dude.
And
he's already really big into funding stuff, so...
Yeah, see? And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 51 years old today. And I'm sure a few NASCAR folks would, you know, still do that. They'd support him. On this day in 1992, Garth Brooks' album, The Chase, debuted at number one on the album chart with tracks that included That Summer and this single.
When we're free to love anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for our own different views, when we all can worship.
When the whole Bud Light debacle happened, I feel, was that like 1,000 years ago or was it like 6 months ago? I don't remember now.
Somewhere in between, yeah.
But, you know, the Bud Light thing happened, then Kid Rock decided to beat up some beer with a gun, and then he said, I'm not serving Bud Light in my bar anymore, and people were like, yeah, and then Garth Brooks was opening up his Nashville bar, and they're like, are you going to do that? He goes, yes. If people want to drink Bud Light, I'll serve it. Like, he just was like, this is dumb. Why am I talking about this right now?
Yes, which is completely in keeping with who he is.
Yeah.
And why, at that point, a lot of the Bud Light thing, people went like, yeah, okay, yeah, people should be able to drink what they want to drink.
Yeah.
You know, who are we to dictate your beer? So, yeah, it's Garth Brooks' it is Friday, isn't it, after a day of travel. Garth Brooks' album The Chase debuted at number one this day in 1992. Garth Brooks was one of many cameos, Greg, in the series I still am plodding through on the flight down and on the flight back, the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh my gosh.
And Garth Brooks has some you know, just incredible comments about Billy Joel, and I really wanted to finish it yesterday, but I couldn't get it done before the Brewers game started. And it's fine because I would have hogged up the whole show today. Whenever I finish this thing, we're basically doing a Billy Joel appreciation show.
Will you do that? Like, start at least start it on a Friday when I'm, because I could talk about that for hours. I watched it in one sitting. I'm like, I'll start watching it. And then I'm like, 9 hours later.
I know. It's a beast. And you keep thinking, okay, this thing's probably wrapping up now. And it doesn't, but it doesn't drag on. The next story is just as compelling as the one before.
Yeah.
And I mean, the segment we could do just rattling off, say, just one or two lines of song lyrics from this song, and saying, you guys should listen to these. So you want to do that next Friday?
I'd love to do that next Friday. I might have to watch it again just to freshen up.
There you go.
I will say this, though. Anytime Garth Brooks is interviewed about anything, it's always amazing because he treats every interview like he is giving a, like, Nobel Prize-winning speech. He just treats it with such, like, the thing about Billy Joel you don't understand is.
Oh, yes, he did.
His own documentary, he cries like 9 times while he's talking.
Wow. And by the way, from being in Nashville last weekend, my favorite bar there was Garth Brooks.
The Garth Brooks one? Nice. Absolutely. I want to go back.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, look at that. We used up all the music from there. I guess we got to get back to doing something here.
Joel's documentary was
Let's go to 1995 then, where No Doubt released their breakthrough album, Tragic Kingdom, with hits like Just a Girl and this one.
Okay, what year? This came out in 98?
95. And it sold 10 million copies and catapulted Gwen Stefani to stardom.
Parker, what year were you born? You were born
2003.
Okay. This is not a setup. I'm just saying, this album, Parker, this song we're playing right now, imagine hearing this song on at least 4 different radio stations a day, at least 3 times a day on each station. This song could not stop being played.
Oh, God. That's not even, like, that breaks the rules of what you're supposed to do.
And on top of that, this was back when MTV was playing videos, too, so the video plays, like, 5 times a day.
Yes. Yeah, the world was quick to embrace Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
They like her. She's a good voice. She stands out.
She's certainly embracing Jesus and Trump lately.
Anyway, this day in 1845 in Annapolis, Maryland, the school that would become the United States Naval Academy opens with 50 students. And so I believe for our favorite Navy veteran, Alicia, we have to do a shout out to her for that. This day in 1946 was born the late singer-songwriter John Prine, who passed away in 2020. It's the 65th birthday for Eric Martin of the band Mr. Big. Texas? Were they a one-hit wonder? Did they have?
Yeah, they were. Okay. But I will say, this song slaps. And another song that was everywhere on contemporary radio. You could not get away from it. The hair band that had all the rockin' tunes, and then they had their sensitive ballad. But their bass player and guitar player are two of, like, the best players in music. Like, they were so good, but you're like, oh, like, you had no idea, because it's a very simple song.
It is, but in 1991, late 91, early 92, it was everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Also born this day in 1917, Thelonious Monk, the jazz pianist and composer. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to singer Maya, who is 46 years old today. Maya, that's her name, Maya Harrison. She was born in Washington, D.C., and her parents chose her name to honor the poet Maya Angelou. Let's see. Here's the birthday that I saved till last. Tanya Tucker. She is 67 years old today.
If ever a biopic needs to be made, it's about Tanya Tucker's life.
It's got to be her. She was, like, officially the first bad girl of country music, right?
I would say documented, where it was out in the world, where people were like, oh, wow, this is, like, I'm sure there were a lot of females out there in country music who could live it up with the boys, but she made the headlines.
Yes. Yeah. This was no little Tammy Wynette stand by your man thing.
No. She was more like, throw him out of the window and keep his stuff.
That's exactly it. Oh, let's see. Now I promised a little Spiro Agnew here, because
rock on!
In today's history lesson, two mentions. First off, in 1970, when Spiro Agnew was the vice president, imagine this happening today. This could not happen today. But in 1970, the head of the FCC dressed down the vice president of the United States after Spiro Agnew complained that radio stations were playing too many songs about drugs. And the statement from the FCC chair said, if we really want to do something about drugs, let's do something about life. The songwriters are trying to help us understand our plight and deal with it. It's about the only leadership that we're getting. They're not really urging you to adopt a heroin distribution program, Mr. Vice President. Could somebody have the spinal fortitude to say something like that today, please?
First of all, I just want to make it, like, Pat, you know this as well as I do. Mm-hmm. Bands back then were not exactly writing about the plight of drug use. Some of them were writing about the awesomeness of drug use that they were finding. So, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing, and it's so perfectly lit. Like, dear Vice President, I'm here to tell you that this is, I think about this, Pat, every day now. I think about someone in one of these departments just going, no, and then going back to work.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah. Or just go up to the bank of microphones and go, no, make me, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Just that, please. But that was 1970. 3 years later on this date, Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with federal income tax evasion as part of a local corruption investigation in Baltimore County involving public officials, architects, and contractors. It was learned Agnew was not only getting kickbacks as Maryland's governor, the payments continued even after he became vice president, including a $10,000 cash payment made at the White House. Are you listening, Tom Homan, current border czar, who got $50,000 in a bag? Agnew would go on to have an extremely blemished business career in political consulting, largely based on his hatred of Israel. He died in 1996 at the age of 77. Yeah, history not being kind to Spiro Agnew, and rightly so.
I think Spiro Agnew wasn't kind to himself.
No, not at all. Thank you, Greg, for helping us out with today's history lesson. We still have our Week in Review panel coming up as well. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. It is National 4-H Week this week, and we are sharing lots of fun facts throughout the week. But today is Fun Fact Friday. Share your favorite 4-H fun fact with each other today. And then Saturday is Sing Along Saturday. What's your favorite 4-H song? For more information about 4-H chapters in your area, just search for 4-H Sawyer County or Washburn County, and you'll find who the contact is for 4-H in the area. Today, 9 o'clock, open play for Northwest Connection Family Resources. Come and join your friends or make some new ones while playing with your kids in the children's environment. A snack will be provided, again, starting at 9 o'clock until 11 today. Open play at the Northwest Connection Family Resources Facility, located at 15896 West 3rd Street. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 o'clock until 3. They are located at the Spider Lake Youth Center at 11255 Highway 77, just past the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats and produce, primarily, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of their financial situation. Again, the Spider Lake Church here, Hayward Campus, on 77, just past the hospital, the Hayward Northwoods Community Food Shelf opening up at 10 o'clock. Girls Varsity Volleyball Invitational for Barron Schools District will be starting at 5 o'clock. They will be playing at the St. Michael Albertville High School. Again, this is Barron Schools Girls Varsity Volleyball Invitational, 5 o'clock at the St. Michael Albertville High School. And, of course, football is tonight, Solon Springs homecoming. It's going to be a beautiful, not too bad of a night for that. Starting at 7 o'clock, the homecoming for Solon Springs football. Their game will be at the Northwood High School starting at 7. Barron School District football, they will be playing at St. Croix Falls High School today at 7 o'clock. Again, Barron Schools varsity football at St. Croix Falls High School. On Saturday, October 11th, starting at 8 o'clock, the fire department in Trigo is having a pancake breakfast. It is located at 8499 State Highway 77 in Trigo. Join the fire department for a great pancake breakfast at the barn until noon. A craft show and bake sale will be featured at the Hayward United Methodist Church located at 10285 Oakler Road in Hayward, just at the corner of B and Oakler. Again, they have handmade crafts, artisan wares, baked goods, all available on Saturday from 9 until 2 o'clock. A craft show and bake sale at the Hayward United Methodist Church. The Birch Barn, holding some great opportunities for young people through the Boys and Girls Club. There's some spots available, only $15 for your kids to go to the Birch Barn. Again, part of the Boys and Girls Club of La Couturier. Call them for more information and availability of spots. 715-634-4030 is the number to call for the Boys and Girls Club of La Couturier to see if they still have trips available to the Birch Barn today on Saturday at 10 until 4. A benefit for Bud Griner starts at noon on Saturday. This will be held at the Springbrook VFW located at 8583 County Highway M in Springbrook. Live music, food, raffles, silent auction, and 50-50. Bud is facing a long road to recover and is unable to work due to the extent of his injuries. With mounting medical bills as well as bills at home, he needs help from his friends and community to get him through this difficult time. Again, a benefit for Bill Griner starting at noon on Saturday until 4, being held at the Springbrook VFW. Fall Festival will be celebrated at the Shack on LCO. The Shack is located at 13298 West Mukwa Road. Hayrides, cookout, games, crafts, pies, all sorts of great things for the youth to enjoy. Fall Festival at the Shack at 13298 West Mukwa on October 11th. Join them for that. Climb the Fire Tower, the Fall Edition. This is being offered at the Gordon Fire Tower. This will be on Sunday, October 12th from 1 until 4 o'clock. The Gordon Fire Tower will be open for people to climb up to the tower and enjoy the fall colors. Again, Gordon Fire Tower open on Sunday, October 12th from 1 until 4 o'clock. Poetry reading will be held at the Drummond Public Library and Historical Museum. That is located at 14990 Superior Street in Drummond, featuring regional poets published in the 2026 Wisconsin Poets Desk Calendar, a publication of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. Again, this is happening Sunday, October 12th. Starting at 2 o'clock at the Drummond Public Library, some poetry reading. Essential life-saving CPR certification training will be held on the 13th from 9:30 until 12:30 at the Fitness Fanatics facility here in Hayward. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Gaza war a step closer to an end. The first phase of a ceasefire agreement is now in effect, says ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House.
This morning, joy and relief as a ceasefire is now in effect, paving the way for the remaining hostages to be released early next week after being held by Hamas for more than 2 years. In Gaza, thousands seen heading north back to Gaza City just moments after the ceasefire was made official.
No Nobel Peace Prize, though, for President Trump. It's awarded to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. No pay for U.S. military members October 15th if the government shutdown's not resolved by then. And the Senate left Washington Thursday without passing a funding bill. U.S. troops have never missed a paycheck because of a shutdown. New York Attorney General Letitia James called bank fraud and false statement charges against her baseless and accused President Trump, who pushed for those charges, of